Like, whoa, grab a seat, please. Yeah, sorry, that started a little loud. Okay, guys, let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you do for us. We especially want to pray for the people of Paris and all they're going through. And actually, as Christians across the world being persecuted, or even people being persecuted because we're not of a like religion, we pray for that. Lord, we also tonight want to pray for pride, that we don't have it, that if it's in our lives, we identify it and we move it on out. We want to thank you for all you do for us, and we only hope to glorify you, be a light to our feet, and help us all just take something from tonight's lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today was the real estate, the high-tech prayer breakfast. I think the real estate is coming up in a few months. It was a great gathering. We had about over 700 people at the Hilton in Tysons today, and it was an early morning, but it was well worth it. And I think this is the 14th year we've done that. I don't know if you guys, Jerry's talked sometimes, has been the MC before, but it went really well, and we talked about Jesus, and then we talked more about Jesus, and then we talked some more about Jesus. So it was pretty good, all in all. So tonight we're going to talk about Christian kryptonite, which is pride. And I don't know if everybody follows the comics or not, but kryptonite's a thing that took Superman's power away. I think it's the one thing that takes our power away as a Christian. But I do have to do comment about current events, and there's one thing that took Superwoman's power away with, you know, I don't know if you guys follow this, that, you know, Rhonda was a heavy favorite, prideful, didn't think she was ever going to lose, and she lost. So I just thought that was interesting. I figured I'd throw the picture up there. Manning's all excited. Did you watch it, Manning?
I said I wouldn't want to be the next one to fight her.
No. She's going to come out. Yeah. I do believe she got full of herself and didn't prepare as much as she used to did. So that's why I threw it up there. Anyways, it was stopped in round two, right? Something like that in Australia. I've never watched any of them, but I follow them on ESPN. So, all right, a couple things we're going to talk about tonight. What the Bible has to say about pride and arrogance. We're going to only look at verses in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at some stories about pride. We're going to take a look at the situation in Corinth and the Lord's table. It's mentioned in tonight's lesson. And then I want to spend just a few minutes on practical recommendations when temptation befalls us. And we're going to be out of here on time. I've been traveling pretty far, and I'm tired. I think this is a pretty straightforward lesson, but I'll get you out on time. Okay? All right, everybody up for it? Can we get started? All right, let's go. So what the Bible has to say about pride and arrogance, and I'm paraphrasing, and the verses are underneath. Pride and arrogance are evil. Pride leads to shame. Pride leads to strife. Pride is foolish. Now remember, these are just in the book of Proverbs. Didn't go any beside it, outside of it. Pride leads to destruction. Pride and a scoffer are synonymous. And if you look up the definition of a scoffer is a person who lies constantly and tries to make themselves seem cool. That was a new dictionary. That wasn't the old English Oxford one. And pride will bring you low. So we have a bunch of examples here where the Bible really speaks loud about pride. And then I picked out just a couple stories to talk to you about. I don't know if you all have ever studied the book of Esther, but it's a really cool story about a Jewish girl becomes queen of Persia. And at the same time, a guy named Haman is trying to wipe out the Jewish race. And in the end of the story, Haman thinks he's going to, I don't want to steal it, so if you guys are going to read it later on, cover your ears, but Haman thinks there's going to be a big parade in his honor. He's very prideful. In fact, he was mad at Esther's stepdad, which was her uncle who raised her, because he wouldn't bow down to him. And what happened was he built the biggest gallows ever to hang Mordecai on, and he thought he was going to have a parade, and things turned bad. His parade turned into Mordecai's parade, and he was the one that was hung on the gallows. So there's a Bible story about pride. Also, we got this one, what was it, 4 years ago when we studied Daniel, maybe? 4 years ago? Great story. So King Nebuchadnezzar is looking out over the great city of Babylon and the Hanging Gardens and all his creations, he says, and look what I've done. And the net of that story is the King Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years acted like a beast of the field, and he kind of went crazy and went out and grazed on grass, and that's what he ate for 7 years. So his pride befell him, I think we could say, right? And then, of course, the most famous example of pride that we all know, it's in all the Gospels, is the story of Peter. From a dedicated follower to I don't know you, and denial of three times. The good news about Peter is he came back to be the rock of the church. But these are just Bible stories of pride and arrogance, and so we learn. And the thing that we're going to talk a little bit about tonight is, if it happened to them and to Peter, and Peter walked with Christ for 3 years, you know, how are we immune? We're not. And that's kind of like the big story tonight. Let's take a little bit more dive into it. So in the book, I think they did a really, in fact, this is one of my best summaries that I think the guys that wrote this book ever, when you read the summary for this chapter, he did a really good job, or they did a really good job. The thing that just amazes me, and that's why I wanted to reiterate here tonight, is Israel had experienced firsthand the goodness and glory and faithfulness and blessing of our Lord. They didn't get touched by the plagues, right? I don't know if you guys remember this, but the Egyptians gave them their jewelry on the way out, so they paid them to leave. The Red Sea was parted. The Red Sea closed down the Egyptian army. They got manna from heaven. When they got tired of manna heaven, God gave them quail to eat. They had food from heaven. They had water flowing from rocks. And they had Lord leading them cloud by day and fire by night. But out of 2 million people, approximately, only two made it to the promised land. That's Joshua and Caleb. I remember we studied that last year, I think, Joshua. Book of Joshua was last year. So what's the lesson here? I mean, here we are. We have people who think that we're, you know, being emboldened by being members of Christ, and they're stumbling. And I think that's like the big example. It's like we think it can't happen to us, but it can. And it's really, really important that we do some self-examination, and we're going to talk about that in a second. So just, you know, the Corinthians were parallel to the Israelites. We talked about this tonight's in that they practiced, they were practicing, Paul talked to them about their practicing idolatry, and of course the Israelites had the golden calf, immorality, because of their lust of evil things. And, of course, there was 23,000 dead people on the Sinai because of their immorality. This was an important one, I thought, murmuring against God, which is going to be talked in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But I think Lon Solomon calls this the Back to Egypt Club. So, you know, they're taken out of Egypt and they're in the desert and they're like, well, life was great back when we were slaves. Why aren't we back there? Or at least we had food to eat or water to drink, whatever it was at the time. I think murmuring is something we all can learn from. It's easy to fall in the trap of complaining, basically what it is. And so it's a lesson to us all to watch what we're complaining about. Things are only good or bad by comparison, but we're simply, sometimes we run off and complain a lot. And like a nation of Israel, they were tempting God, just daring him to act. Therefore, this is the big verse, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So, one of the parts that I really thought was pretty interesting is John Piper had a word to say about this, and I want to share it with you. And we're right on time, okay? Okay, good. You're going to get out 9? No sweat? You got it? All right. And what John says, and I'm going to read you a couple paragraphs here, guys. What Paul shows here is that the Corinthians were saying, I eat God's sacramental food. I drink God's sacramental drink. I've been baptized into Christ with water. I am safe and secure, so there's nothing that can threaten me, not even participation with my old friends in the feast of idolatry, the Lord's Supper, and baptism make me secure. So the Corinthians were overestimating the power of the Lord's Supper and baptism by thinking if they had ate food and drank this drink, God would be pleased with them and they wouldn't be safe from his judgment, even if they went out participating in idol feasts with their Corinthian friends. The Lord's Supper is not a grace dispenser, a sacramental antidote that immunizes against all forms of worldly idolatry. If you show up and eat and drink, you are safe. And the rest of your life can be just as entangled in secularism as sin in the rest of the world. They substituted sacramentalism for personal holiness. The Lord's Supper is not an external automatic impartation of divine protection. It is an experience of the personal spiritual fellowship with Christ. In eating and drinking by faith, we nourish ourselves on the blessings purchased by Christ's shed blood and broken body. And so this supper really does not help protect us from the destruction by making us want to flee idolatry, not by making us secure in idolatry. So to be a sharer in the altar is to share all those things that God is doing in the altar. And he goes on to say, this is probably what Paul means in verse 16 when he says the bread is sharing in the body of Christ and the cup is sharing in the blood of Christ. When Christ was sacrificed on the cross and shed his blood and gave his body for us, God removed guilt in forgiving sin and making peace and establishing fellowship with all who believe. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to receive from Christ the nourishment and strength and hope and joy that come from feasting our souls on all that he had purchased for us on the cross, especially his own fellowship. We share in the body and blood by sharing in the benefits they bought, including, verse 17, in our unity with the body of Christ. So, you know, Paul is really the deeper side of this. I like this and I wanted to bring it out to you guys because he's saying don't overestimate or underestimate the power, but it's not going to protect you from sin. It's with something that we do in community, and it's a fantastic thing that we remember what the Lord did for us. And I know different faiths, you know, believe in that it is actual blood and body, and some people believe that it's a substitute. It doesn't matter. We're all one body of Christ. We've talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But what matters is that the Corinthians were thinking this protected them, and it didn't. So that's John Piper. So some practical recommendations. We're coming down the home stretch here. We're definitely going to make it in on time. I want to read you a story about the ring-tailed monkeys in Africa. My first point is let go of your sin. Men who trap animals in Africa for zoos in America say that one of the hardest animals to catch is a ring-tailed monkey. For the Zulus of the continent, however, it's simple. They've been catching this agile little animal with ease for years. The method the Zulus use is based on knowledge of the animal. Their trap is nothing more than a melon growing on a vine. The seeds of this melon are the favorite of the monkey. Knowing this, the Zulus cut a hole in the melon just large enough for the monkey to insert his hand to reach the seeds inside. The monkey will stick in his hand, grab as many seeds as he can, and then start to withdraw. He cannot do this. His fist is now larger than the hole. The monkey will pull and tug and screech and fight the melon for hours, but he can't get free of the trap unless he gives up the seeds, which he refuses to do. Meanwhile, the Zulus sneak up on him and nab him. And I think this is a great story. It's a great lesson for us. That was taken out of Charles Swindoll's book, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. But it's a great lesson about, you know, lots of times we have sin. We don't want to realize it. And we don't want to give it up. And yet it's going to cause us to be captured by Satan in this particular scenario. So it's something that we should all just think about, self-examine ourselves, you know, where is it? We all have it in your lives. I mean, prideful stuff, and we just got to figure it out. So the next thing is God is faithful. So God is faithful. When these things happen, focus on God's character, his faithfulness. Sovereignly declare who he is. The guy who did this all the time was David in the Psalms, right? Singing God's praises. And Paul, when he was in prison, God is faithful. And of course, the doors opened up. We all know those stories. But we got to focus on God. Lean into community. I think this is pretty important. In fact, we talked about it in leaders. A lot of guys were talking about relying on your brothers, the guys in this classroom. It's been a recurring theme of mine this year, so it's on my heart to tell you about it. To be vulnerable with your friends and let them know where your weaknesses are, to help them rally around you to make you stronger. And the analogy here is the big sequoias in California. Those trees really have shallow root systems, but the root systems are interconnected. So all the trees have an interconnected root system that keeps them up strong. And you know, that's kind of what we're looking for in small groups and rally around each other. Next point was consider changing your prayer. Lots of times when this happens, it's all about me, 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 right? Oh, why am I going through this? I can't handle it. Help me, 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 me. And I think, you know, the prayer needs to change to help me get out of this situation, but help me also learn what you want me to learn for to your glory. So kind of switching it to God's glory also turns a switch inside of us to help us get through these things, but also glorifies him, and it's our lessons learned. One of the things that Chris shared with us in Leaders, and I added it here, is flee from. So here's the stuff the Bible says to flee from. Flee from sexual immorality, flee from idolatry, flee from love of money, and flee from the devilish desires of your youth. And then in James 4:7, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee you. So it's the other way around. So flee, 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 and if you do it, the devil will flee you. So it's a good reminder there. Oops, lost my place. Self-control is the anchor of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the last thing that he's asking us to do. When we list out the list, so that's really important to understand. And then, as I said earlier, what's your kryptonite? You know, where are we falling? And I think it's hard. I think if you get some time over the next day or two or this weekend, think about it. We all have it. We all experience it. You know, it's there someplace. I'll tell you a couple stories. Like you've heard me, like traveling salesman, you know, I always think never go to a bar by myself. You've heard that one before. You know, if you, and this one's really common. Oh, I started going out to lunch with that girl because we worked together. And all of a sudden, it leads to adultery. And that could be a problem. I mean, I think that when I was first married, my wife was mad at me because I used to go down by Alexandria. I worked out in a Gold's Gym. And then in the morning, I go early and run to Potomac and back, which was like a five-mile loop or something like that. And when I was in the gym, a couple girls found out. They go, oh, can we run with you? And I'm like, dumb and arrogant. I'm like, yeah, sure, come on. And my wife was like, hey, you can't be doing that. So, you know, more than 20 years later, I'm realizing that I shouldn't have been doing that. And at the time, I said, get out of here. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Nothing had happened. She goes, well, that's how it all starts. So, you know, it's one of the lessons I learned. I think that, too, you know, it's just one click. We all know that. We've talked about that one before. Or an infamous line, hey, it's just a bachelor party. I mean, essentially, that's what was happening to the Corinthians was they were going to the pagan feast with their friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, if an orgy breaks out, I'm okay. I'll just sit here in the corner and talk to my friend about something else, you know? I mean, it's crazy. That's what was happening. And I think that the lessons here, you know, the lessons here are, no, you can't. And don't trust yourself to be strong. And so flee and put yourself in situations where you're not going to be tempted. So that's the big lesson tonight. And I got two more things to talk about, or actually the prayer and one thing to talk about. So next week is Thanksgiving. We don't meet. The following week, we're only going to do one more lesson. The way this worked out, we're about a week ahead of all the other classes that are studying the same thing. We tried to do it this year. If we don't get any snow days, we don't double up, which is really good for us. So just one lesson next time around. We meet in 2 weeks. And it is Thanksgiving. So it's a time to pause, to thank God for all that we have with our family and friends and stuff. And so I urge you to get out there and be thankful. Maybe between now and then, if you could service somebody that's less fortunate as you. I ran into a guy today that was homeless in the Reston Town Center, and he was just sopping wet. And I looked at him. I said, are you okay? And he said, yeah. And I go, what's wrong? He goes, well, I'm homeless. And I said, where are you going? He goes, I'm just walking around. I said, what's going on? He says, well, I'm hungry. I just said, come on. I won't give him money, but I walked him over to the burger joint and bought him a burger and fries and a Coke, and he got a warm place to sit for, probably nurse it for an hour. So if you can figure out something good to do, just a small act, that was $14, wasn't much in the greater scheme of things, but I urge you all to get out there and, you know, it's all practicing our faith from time to time, I think is really, really important. And so I urge you to do that as part of the next 2 weeks before we get back together again, and then maybe share in your small group what you did. So that's it. We're going to have a closing prayer. So join me in prayer, gentlemen. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, as we talked about in the beginning, help us deal with our pride. It's there. It's how we get in arguments with our spouses at times. It's what leads us astray. And Lord, it's a slippery slope. One small step and we're sliding down the hill in a bunch of mud, and then the results are ugly. So by the Holy Spirit, you know, convict us of it. Help us deal with it. It's going to be there. It's part of our human flesh. We know that once we fix it, it's going to come back again. It's like weeds in the garden. We got to keep on relying on you to not have the weeds grow within us, in this case, pride within us, Lord. So we thank you for this lesson tonight. We know many great men in the Bible fell because of it, and we're just looking for your support to help us here against our human flesh, to flee against our human flesh. Lord, we also want to thank you. Thank you for the bounty that you give us, the life here in America. We're free to worship you. We have families, we have roofs over our heads. We share meals. We just thank you for all you do for us. Help us to remember the less fortunate over the next few weeks and do something for them, Lord. But we also hope that in all things we do, that we can glorify you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give each other a high five or something on the way out. Guys, we'll see you soon. I told